Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Amen. Stand on your feet for the reading of the word. We're going to jump into the last in the series called Flawed. I'm glad you're here today. And I've just been, my praise and my gratitude since Thursday has been a little different to God. And it's amazing, church, that all the problems I thought I had weren't problems when Thursday morning showed up. My lawnmower wouldn't start on Friday. That's not a problem, y'all. I'll buy another mower. Can I encourage you that there's a lot of things that you've been letting steal your joy, steal your focus, and they're not the main thing. Let's stay focused on Jesus. Let him do the impossible. Let us do and take care of the possible. Amen. Somebody say, keep your hopes up. That's our theme for this year. I want you to get them up. I want you to keep them up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, the NLT version reads this. Three different times, Paul said, I beg the Lord to take it away. And each time, he said, which church, we'll get to this in a little bit. Every time Paul asked, God answered. Every time Paul asked, God answered. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Somebody say, I am strong. This is our final message in the series, Flawed. You can catch up online for free if you would like to. But I need somebody to turn to your neighbor and just tell them, I am flawed, but I'm faithful. Now somebody shouted, I am flawed, but I'm faithful. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Flaws, church, are what makes us human. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. There's no such thing. And listen, church, just when you think you've got it all figured out, something just jerks the rug right out from under your feet. As long as we live on the face of this earth, there are going to be flaws that we are going to have to deal with. Let me just tell you, if Paul had to deal with flaws, then Brandon's going to have to deal with flaws. And you are going, no one escapes the flaws of life. But will you allow those flaws not to be a liability in your life? And we all have those, but let them be an asset where God can move. Flaws can be physical. They can be mental. They can be emotional and spiritual. Maybe you have one or all of the above. Maybe it's just one. But this is what David said in chapter 51, verse 5. He said, surely was I sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me. The way we see it and say it in one translation is I was born into sin and shaped in iniquity. Just like the comedian said, I can do bad all by myself. We were born into a sinful atmosphere that was created by the disobedience of Adam and Eve. If disobedience builds that kind of culture in a sinful atmosphere, then can I encourage you, and it's not in my notes, but can I encourage you that if that's what disobedience does, then obedience does the absolute opposite. And obedience builds a culture, not of sin and not of sinful nature, but of faith, praise God, of peace, of joy, and of God's Spirit. Remember, your flaws are not sin, but they can lead to sin. That's why the Bible would say, be angry, but sin not. How many of you, not rhetorically, but you'll actually raise your hand and admit you've got an anger problem. You get mad. I'm gonna put my hand up because I've got a temper I deal with, and I'm going to tell you what my dad tells me, and that's coming from a hot-tempered person too. He says, you can get glad the same way you got mad. Just like that. It's a choice. Anger, being mad, having a hot temper, that is a flaw, but it's not a sin. Why? Because the Bible literally commands us, be angry, but sin not. Don't let your flaw in a sinful nature make you sin and sever your relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me remind the church in the room and online today that sin is not just getting drunk and getting high and cheating on your spouse. Sin is anything that separates or severs your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why loving money can be a sin. That's why lying and cheating and stealing is a sin. That's why there's so many things that the enemy likes to lead us into in our flaws that are not necessarily wrong. But if we don't allow Jesus to step in our flaws will lead us to sin. Getting mad at your husband, that's not a sin. Scratching his eyes out, now you've crossed the threshold. Getting mad at your girlfriend, that's not a sin. Keying her car and stabbing every one of her tires, now you've crossed the threshold. I want to encourage you, church, identify those flaws, ask Jesus to work in those flaws, and watch what God's perfect strength in our weakness is. Watch what it does in our life. So what is your flaw? It's the areas that you struggle in personally. Your flaws will be different than mine, and mine will be different than yours. What is hard and difficult for you to do? That's probably a personality or a mental flaw that you might have, or simply where does Satan attack you the most? There's things in your life that Satan never messes with you in. You know why? Because that's where you're strong. But he will always poke and prod at the weaknesses. If you've got substance issues, he will always make sure that a friend of yours, that when you get in their car, they got a little something for you. They'll make sure that you're never left out of the group text when it's time to go drink and carry on. He'll make sure that your weakness is always fed and always exposed, but we must identify those flaws, because when we identify our flaws, it changes the way we pray and approach life. Can I tell you, I don't spend a lot of time praying over my strengths. What I do is I pray over my flaws, because that's where I need God to step in, because my flaws, church, get me in trouble. My flaws hurt my relationship. My flaws hurt my walk with God, and so it changes the way I live my life and the way that I pray. Here we go. You have flaws, but your flaws, church, do not have to be fatal. So many allow their deficiencies to dictate what they are capable of doing and how far they are capable of going. Your flaws do not have to be fatal. However, your flaws can make you fertile. Let me say that again. Your flaws can make you fertile. Fertile, defined, is capable of abundantly producing. What if I told you out of the biggest flaw of your life is where God wants to do the biggest miracle in your life? What if I told you the biggest weakness of your life was the greatest platform for God to step on and move through you and on you and move and allow you to use that platform to reach people that are connected to you? But so many times we hide our flaws and we pray, God, take the flaw away. And God is saying, if all I do is leave you with strengths, what makes you think that you're going to wake up and talk to me tomorrow? If all I do is leave you with strength, what makes you think that you're going to lean into? See, my flaws help my prayer life. My flaws help me lean into Jesus every day. Why? Because my strengths can't get the job done, and it's my flaws that betray me. So instead of being a casualty of my flaw, I allow my flaw to push me towards Jesus. So what if the greatest things in your life, the abundant things in your life, the most fertile places in your life are not where you are strong, but it is in your flaws. The abundance you receive might be determined by your flaws and not your strength. Your strength makes you depend on you, but your flaws make you depend on Christ. Has anyone ever told you, oh, you're so strong? Either they're looking at man or they are recognizing the God in you. See, there's so many times, even this week, my testimony is that in the weak moments of my life, driving to the hospital, not knowing what we were going to walk into, those were weak moments of my life, but can I tell you that this Thursday, I felt God closer to me than I have felt him in a long time, and we've had some great services here. We've had great outpourings like last Sunday here. I've been in some moments where God, I mean, just showed up and showed out, but on Thursday morning, 2:30, driving down the interstate, everybody else in the world is asleep, but I felt God so close that in my weakness, he said, Brandon, this is when you need me, and I'm bringing all of heaven with me. You don't have to doubt, but if you doubt, I'm here with you. If you're anxious, I'm here with you. If you're fearful, I'm here with you. Your weakness has given me a place to show up and become strong. Some of us want to be strong, and we don't want to go through anything. Some of us want to be strong, but we don't want to lift heavy weights. Can I encourage you that what you are going through is making you stronger if you've allowed that thing to push you towards Jesus Christ? You might have gone through loss in 2022, and that loss is making you stronger because now you have had to lean on Jesus. I've talked to people in the last few months that they said things like, I didn't know how I was going to make it, but God. What they're saying is my strength was not important to me in that moment, but in my weakness, God showed up. Your strengths make you depend on you. Your flaws make you depend on Christ. Your strengths point to self. We've coined terms like self-help, and all you have to do is have willpower. That's putting a lot of responsibility on you, church, on me, that we just simply do not have. See, when trouble shows up like it did in our house this past week, I'm a public speaker. It's what I do for a living. And I could not even form words to say to my wife. But in our weakness, God was made strong. The person I am closest to the most, I did not have a sermon that I could preach. I did not have 3 or 4 cliches that would bring her peace. All we could do is with tears running down our face saying, God, in my weak moment, it is not me pointing to self. Self-help is not going to get our son back. Self-help is not going to bring resurrection. Self-help and willpower aren't going to work in this situation. I'm not trying to break a habit. I'm trying to bring life back into my son. Strength, and our strength points to us, but our flaws point us to Christ. We as a church, Living Way, we should always be pointing to Christ. And we might have programs, and we might have ministries, and we might have teams, and we might have counseling, and we might have small groups, and all of those things have their place. But every time you show up at Living Way, we're going to create an atmosphere of worship. We're going to keep this altar open 2, 3, 4 times a service. But you are going to hear a man or woman of God preach Jesus and point to Jesus and preach the cross and preach his blood and preach his power. Because strength and your strength is going to fail you when you need it most, but your flaws point you to Christ. Here's a big one, church. Your strength builds pride, but your flaws build faith. Your strength builds pride. Look what I can do. Look what I've done. See, it doesn't matter what you accomplish in your life. As a believer, we understand if it had not been for the Lord on my side, let me just tell you something. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have woke up today. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have been able to tie my shoes today. There is no such thing as picking yourself up and dusting yourself off. It is God who picks us up. It is God who dusts us off. It is God that gives us a second chance. It is God that gave you the mind to get a 6-figure job. It is God that gave you love so that you would know how to get married and stay married. It is God. the best thing, the strongest parts of me, it's so easy to get drunk on pride. I did that. And God said, no, 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 I did that. Because what you're pointing to that you created, I created you, which, and then I gave you the knowledge and the skill to create that. So anything that you're taking credit for, I'm going to need that praise to come up to me, Bubba, because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have rolled out of bed this morning. So strength, my strength, focusing on your strength, it builds pride. And what does pride do? Pride always shows up before the fall. You see someone fall, they fell in love with their strengths and they ignored their weaknesses. They fell in love with what they were good at. And they said, listen to this, church, and this is a word for somebody. They said, I'm so good at this that it doesn't matter how bad I am at this. When there is so many people that are falling because pride has taken a place in their life, and I am here to sing the praises of God. Anything good in me, it is because of the God in me. Any mistake I made, it's because of me and that lying devil. If you hear me say something good, it didn't come from my mind, it came from the mind of Christ. If you see me do anything good, it is because God has been good to me. I'm talking to somebody today. Don't ignore your flaws. Don't fall in love with what you're good at. Thank God that he's given you some strong places. But in those moments, say, God, I don't want to build pride. I want to build faith. And that happens in my flaws. Your strength can be an invitation for the adversary. But your flaws can be an invitation for God to do his best work. None of us would knowingly invite a thief into our house. We would not leave our doors unlocked, windows open, alarm off. Yet we will allow thieves to come through the television screen. We will allow thieves to date our children and come in our house. We will allow thieves to show up in the form of an iPhone or a Samsung. We will allow thieves to show up in our thoughts, not understanding that we have invited the adversary in. And remember this, church, the adversary comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. However, Jesus said in the same verse, I have come to give you life and life in abundance. And so I want to encourage the church today. Your flaw is not an excuse for God not to show up. Your flaw is not a reason for you not to open yourself up. Your flaw is an open invitation that Jesus, I need you. I'm in a sinful world and I can't do it by myself. I've made some mistakes and I need your help today. It is an invitation for God to do his best work. A couple Sundays ago, and I quoted it already, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And when they put it up, you're going to see verse 27 is, and neither give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. And neither give place to the devil. If I allow my flaw, church, to lead to sin, I've given an invitation to Satan to come into my house and do what only he can do. You can't go to bed with dogs and be surprised when you wake up with fleas. You can't sleep with serpents and then complain about getting bit. And there's a lot of us that our flaws are not a place for God to move, and we hide them, and we don't deal with flaws, and our flaws lead to sin. And that sin is the severing of our relationship with Jesus, which leads to Satan coming in. And can I remind you, Satan only knows how to do one thing. If I could say something good about the devil, he's a good devil. When he shows up, all he can do is steal. You say, well, Pastor Brett, I have nothing left to take. Oh, we're not talking about money. That's the least of our concern. He steals love out of your marriage. He steals respect and obedience out of your children. He steals faith, robs you of the dominion and authority that we have because of the Holy Spirit. And then we want to act surprised like, I can't believe it. My heart goes out to these families of these young men and women that keep shooting up these schools. And they put the microphone in their face and they're saying things like, I just don't know. Johnny was such a good kid. No, he wasn't. You let the devil in your house. Johnny had a flaw. And instead of you teaching Johnny in that flaw to seek Christ, that you may be messed up, but God does his best miracles in the mess up. That I'm going to take you to Sunday school and I'm going to take you to children's church. When you get old enough, I'm going to take you to youth church. And I believe in 18 years, those are going to help. But 24 hours a day, Johnny, I'm going to teach you what it means to pray. I'm going to teach you what it means to follow Jesus. I'm going to teach you what it means to serve the kingdom of God. And that, and when we do that, but we cannot be surprised when the devil shows up and does what the devil does. You better hope the only thing he does is steal. Because he wants to destroy. But his ultimate goal is to kill you. But Jesus said, don't worry, I let him go first. And when I come in, I'm bringing life and life in abundance. So if my flaw that is not dealt with and given to Jesus leads to sin, and then sin is an open invitation to Satan, then we all start at the same place, our flaw. But if our flaw does not lead to sin, if our flaw leads us to a sin-free life, God, I want you to deal with my flaw. Now we are in this stage where most of everyone else is now in a life of sin. They've let their flaw turn them. However, our flaw has turned us to Christ. Now, our flaw has not caused us to sin, but it is an open invitation. God, take away this thorn in my flesh. God says, better yet, I'm not going to take away what you're going through, but I am going to step in your life so that you can handle what you're going through. Well, God, I'd rather you just take it. Oh, but I'd rather just step in it with you, because if I step in the situation with you, you're going to grow. You're going to mature. You're going to be a better believer. You're going to be a stronger disciple. You're going to have a testimony. Somebody say my testimony. So our flaw leads to Jesus. You and I left alone with our flaws is dangerous. However, God invited into our flaws is miraculous. Your flaw, church, can become the greatest weapon of your life. I've got 2 minutes left. Two of my biggest flaws, because as blunt as I am an open book, transparent as I can be. Two of my biggest personality flaws, I'm stubborn. And if you haven't noticed yet, I'm outspoken. Just think about that for a second. Without God involved in these would be a handicap. That would affect my life in 100 different ways. Without Jesus, in my stubbornness and in my outspoken way of talking and communicating, I would not have been able to be married to Mandy for 20 years. Can I get an amen? She was being sweet. If I allowed the enemy to use that before Christ, I would have never come to Christ. I would have been so stubborn in my ways that I would have said, God, I can handle it. I don't need you. But my stubbornness was exposed in 1999. Jesus came into my life and did not deliver me from being stubborn. He said, Brandon, let me just step into that stubborn place in your life and let's use that for your benefit. So in the last 22 years of my life, 24 years of my life, I have seen friends backslide. I have seen friends leave the church. I have seen pastors shut down their church and turn atheist. I have had friends commit suicide. I have had friends cheat and leave their families and leave their kids and not pay a penny in helping raise them. But my stubbornness, now that it has Jesus, I'm not turning back, and I don't care what they do. I almost said a bad word. I don't care what they do. I'm still working, y'all. It's a flaw, praise God. I don't care what they do. I am stubborn in how I look to Jesus. They can flake out, but my faith is strong. They can quit if they want to, but my faith is strong. They can wuss out if they want to, but I'm focused today. They can complain if they want, but I'm going to keep praising God. They can run their mouth and gossip, but I'm going to keep praising. My flaw is still there, but Jesus stepped into my flaw. Then I'm outspoken. Y'all should have heard me in high school, y'all. This animation, but with a lot more colorful language. To teachers, to people, to referees. God bless the referees. I owe a lot of them apologies. I still hold the school record for most technicals in a basketball season. We played 42 games. I had 44 technicals. Say, how'd you get more technicals than games? If you get two, they kick you out. So I got two in two games. I went back a few years later and I asked Coach, I said, Coach, has anyone come close to breaking that record? And he so dryly said, he goes, Mr. Fender, we don't allow people to act that way anymore. Those are called the Fender rules, praise God. That same mouth is the same mouth you hear right now. That same in-your-face personality, it's what you love and hate about me. The bluntness that I'll say anything that needs to be said, and it doesn't matter who tweets it, who comes at me, doesn't matter if it's the word of God, I'm going to preach it. I don't care if it is politically correct, culturally correct. I don't care what it does to the woke crowd. I don't care what it does to the progressive crowd. I don't care who's deconstructing, reconstructing, all of those things. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to preach the word. What you love about me is the same thing you hate about me, and it's the same mouth. The only thing that's the difference between 1997 and 2023 is Jesus now controls my mouth. Same flaws, but now Jesus is in the middle of them. Just like 3 minutes ago when Jesus said, don't say that word. Who? Okay, Jesus. The same Jesus that did that to me, he'll do that to you so that you quit tearing down your wife and your marriage. The same mouth that you use to tear down the president, politics, tear down the government, tear down all of that spewing of hate that we do on both sides of the aisle. He said, why don't you build something with that mouth? Well, it's just who I am, God. Change who you are. Be born again, praise God. My flaws have become my greatest asset when Jesus gets involved. I got to hurry through this because Pastor Mandy's preaching next week. Here's five things that my flaws have done for me. You can take pictures of them on the wall, write them down as quick as you can. My flaws keep me honest. My flaws keep me honest. Because I know that if I don't let Jesus stay in the middle of my mess, in the middle of who I am, where I fall short, I know that I cannot be and do what God has called me to do. It keeps me honest. Number two, my flaws make me pray more. Sometimes I've got to pray instead of post. That's a word for somebody. So quick, like a knife on social media, to give somebody a piece of your mind. Pray more, post less. My flaws make me pray more. My flaws make me get in the Word more. When I don't know what to say, I go to the Word. When I know that what I'm going to say is not going to be befitting for a believer and a faith talker, I go to the Word of God. My flaws, number four, make me spend more time with God. When I feel, I've had this. I was on a Saturday night, I'd say jabroni, or Friday night. I had this jabroni on Facebook. The last 2 weeks, he's got all my social media, and now he's making pages just to come on my social media and spread a bunch of rumors and gossip and lies. I'm not good at a lot of things, but I am good at a post that can cut to the bone. And God said, don't post. Don't worry about that. Block him, delete him, and let's move on. But for me to really do that, church, I had to turn off the TV, had to open the Word, and I had to spend some time with God. Why? Because my flaws were leading me to a place that was not Christ-like. And so in that moment of me spending time with Jesus, all of the old Brandon is washed away. I recommit, rededicate, crucify my flesh yet again, pick up my cross, and I follow Jesus. Makes me spend more time with him. And finally, number five, my flaws make me give more grace. If you show me someone who offers people no grace, they are not being honest with themselves. Whom much is given, much is required. I know that's really not talking about grace, but it works well here. I've been given a lot of grace, y'all. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. 41 years of age, I've made a lot of mistakes. Now, I'd love to tell you that all those mistakes were BC, before Christ, but I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of those mistakes have been since July 17, 1999, when I gave my life to Christ. But my flaws remind me, you're not perfect, but Jesus is. You're not all that, but he is. You couldn't get the job done, but he can. Can I just tell you one thing? Stand on your feet. Can I just tell you one thing that really encouraged me? I haven't shared this with anybody, but in my moment, and I promise you, Mandy was in the closet getting ready to go on Thursday morning. And, I mean, we got dressed as quick as we could, 5 minutes, and we were out the door. But I stood, and when I say, you remember what it was like when your parents would wake you up for school and you sat there on the bed and you just looked off into the distance for like 12 minutes? Your mom's like, you're going to miss the bus, and you're just still. I stood there. I said, Mandy, I said, we'll ride together. And I just stood there at the edge of my bed. And it really was like somebody just punched me in the face. And through those moments, pressing in, weak moments, God shows up, God shows up, God shows up. But I just remembering, as we got to the hospital and everything was being regulated and Tyler pulled through and the doctors were just congratulating each other and him and us, and I just said, God, thank you. Thank you for saving and healing my son. And this is what he said to me, and I loved it. He said, I sent my son to die so yours wouldn't have to. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I took your sin on the cross because you couldn't pay for it. But those flaws you got, you're going to have to live with some of them. That's your flesh. But you don't have to do it all on your own. Invite me into your flaw. In your weakness is where my strength is the greatest. My grace is all you need. And Paul ends the phrase saying, when I am weak, then I am made strong. I shared this a little bit two Wednesday nights ago, and I'm going to end with this. I want you to think about this as the altars are open. We herald Peter as one of the greatest men to ever live. We love to use Judas as a whipping boy, and we mark him as one of the worst to ever live. Remember, both of them were called by Jesus. Both of them were part of the earthly ministry of Jesus. Both of them were at the Last Supper of Jesus. Both of them saw Jesus on a cross. Both of them denied Christ. Peter denied him around a fire three times. I don't know him. I have never known him. I am not his follower. You say, when did Judas deny him? Oh, he denied him. He did. He at least was smart about it. His denial, at least he made some money. Judas and Peter were very similar in their flaws. They're always questioning, doubting, and denial. But one of them at the end of his life said, this is my flaw, Jesus. Would you come into my flaw and make it what it should be? Bring me strength. That was Peter. But Judas never invited Jesus into the flaw of who he was and what he was dealing with. And we all know Judas ends his own life tragically by hanging himself from a tree. People have always argued theologically, it's not fair that God would create Judas and Judas's entire purpose was to deny Christ. Oh, it would not be fair. But I still believe that even though Judas had sold him out, got the 20 piece of silver, threw it back, I still believe Jesus or Judas could have come back and said, Jesus, I'm sorry. Here's something no one's ever preached that I've heard. What if Judas was supposed to be the greatest preacher that had ever preached? What if what we say about Peter, what if Judas was going to do twice that much? His story would have been, his comeback would have been so much better if he had said, Jesus, I'm sorry. My flaws got the best of me. But God, I want you to step into my flaws.